In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please sit. Just to come back to what I was saying earlier, and perhaps you weren't here, do pray for tomorrow with the inauguration of a new president. These things have significant events in our world, and when Sue prays later, I'm sure she will pray for that day. Franklin Graham, who is the son of Billy Graham, the famous evangelist, will be leading prayers at that event. And as I say, what we do here each Sunday as we gather for prayer has an impact on our world. And we must never take these things lightly. We've been talking about epiphanies of manifestations. And so we stay with the Christmas story, hence we've got the Christmas tree still with us. The first epiphany talks about the fact that Jesus is for all nations. Wonderfully, we're a very diverse church here now. It's not just white Anglo-Saxon. We are very diverse. Probably the most diverse Anglican church in the whole of the borough of Harrow, by the way, that I hear from my other colleagues who minister in other parishes. We are one of the most diverse. And it's a testimony to the fact that Christ is for all nations. And I would imagine there's probably like 30 different nations represented here today. The coming of the Magi, an indication that Christ is for all people. Do not take that for granted. Because in our world, we're in a world where we believe often, sadly, in us and them. Those who are in and those who are out. Those who are part of the club and not part of the club. And there are huge inequalities. But the reason that we believe that humanity is equal in the sight of God comes from this story of the Magi, because it was announced that he will be for all people. That's the first manifestation, the first epiphany, the light bulb moment that we come to understand as we move through the Christmas period. Then there's a second epiphany, a manifestation, and it happens at the baptism of Jesus, where suddenly the Holy Spirit descends on him and said, "This is my beloved Son, the voice of the Father, in whom I am well pleased." So this next epiphany is that Jesus is the Son of God. And through our baptism, we are adopted into God's family. We can be included. You and I can be included. We are the beloved, through our baptism, adopted into his family. The second great epiphany. And then the third epiphany, which we read about today. What's this about? A wedding in Cana of Galilee. What's it trying to tell us? In the transformation of ordinary water into the glorious new wine, Jesus is saying there will be a new order, a new creation that will come about. There is a new future. The ordinary will be transformed into glorious, intoxicating, the best quality wine that you could possibly drink, and it will be abundant. Notice he makes this huge excessive wine. Almost 800 bottles it would have filled from this miracle. He is saying there will be a transformation from what we have known to a new order that will come about. Now, how does it come about? You might miss the signals. Notice, first of all, Jesus says to his mother, "Woman, my hour has not yet come." My hour. Why does he say my hour? Why does he say my hour has not yet come? Well, if you look through the various references in the book of John, whenever Jesus refers to the hour, he is talking to the hour of his crucifixion. First sign that somehow the transformation that will come about through his hour, which is his crucifixion. But he says to his mother, it's not come yet. And then you'll notice that this miracle takes place on the third day in the book, in the reference. The miracle takes place on the third day. What happened on the third day? The resurrection. So this story is intimately connected with the hour of his crucifixion. My hour has not yet come, he says to his mother. And it's intimately connected with his resurrection because it happened on the third day. The transformation will come about, the new wine will come about, the new creation will come about because of his death and his resurrection. Hence we've lit our Paschal candle today. This story is wonderfully multi-layered. Wonderful. It makes me realize how inspired it is. By the way, why does he refer to his mother and say woman? Might be quite disrespectful. Why does he say woman? My hour has not yet come. Woman. Who was the first woman? Eve. So in one sense he's saying to her, Eve, she complains to him, the wine has run out. And he's referring to his mother as if she is Eve. And he's saying that the old order has passed away and it has run out. It needs a transformation. And so Eve, in one sense, here as Mary is saying to her son, the old order has run out of steam. It needs a transformation. Mary is Eve in the story. The old creation, it needs a transformation, it needs a change. The wine has run out. Wonderfully multi-layered. Third day. My hour has not yet come, the crucifixion, the transformation of wine from water. By the way, wine, 800 bottles of it. Glorious wine. Wine in scripture is divine life. Divine life. When Jesus sheds his blood for us, it's a wonderful symbol of divine life poured out for us. Wine in scripture is about being lifted up. Lifted up out of our circumstances. It's meant to be intoxicating. Wine in scripture is about transfiguration, transformation. It's about joy and it's about exuberance. And we come to church today with our concerns about the needs of the world, and the weather is grey, and the grey sad days perhaps in January, and we would long for something better. So listen, if there is a place that you can trust something that can change your life and transform it, look to the wedding here at Cana, because it's about divine life, exuberance, being lifted up, being transfigured. It's about joy. And real Christianity and the story of Jesus he invites us to is not one of which is meager. It's not one which is sort of mean. It's extravagant. It's over the top. He produces not just the best wine, but a huge amount, way in excess of their needs, because Christianity, its roots, is overwhelming in its grace. It's wonderfully exuberant and extravagant. And many of us have been brought up on a Christianity which is mean, meager, harsh, grey, and it's robbed us of our joy. And that's why when we come to church, we don't go out smiling. We don't go up with hearts lifted up. Because all we've perhaps known is a Christianity really that is perhaps sometimes resentful and harsh, and it hasn't changed us. By the way, it's one reason I missed the Pentecostal church I used to be part of for many years. Because somehow they knew something about the intoxicating joy of the power of the Spirit. And when people came there, they wanted to hang around and stay there for a long time because it was like wine. It lifted them up. It was exuberant, full of life. And that's what church should be about. And it happened here at this wedding of Cana in Galilee, this multi-layered story that speaks of the old creation being transformed, of the death of Jesus. My hour has not yet come. And it happened on the third day, because through this story, the whole of creation in the end is transformed. So what's the epiphany here? The epiphany here that we must hear about is that through this glorious story of Jesus, everything ultimately in the end will be transformed, and we're part of that. Happened, of course, at the resurrection, because it was the resurrection that reversed the decay that had come about through the fall, and it was through the resurrection that all of a sudden that old order of decay, of death and destruction and entropy, if you know anything about physics, was reversed. Suddenly Christ breaks in and says, no, the universe will not ultimately cool down and end in decay. There is a new story that begins today. On the third day of the resurrection, our transformation of water into wine, our divine life. This is why in Jesus, we've beheld his glory. There are lots of narratives around at the moment, stories. Some of them are very sad stories, that the universe has no purpose, ultimately. You can't build a future on that story. A lot of my atheist friends believe that story. You can't build a future on that story. Let me invite you once again today on this Epiphany Day, as we go through it, to come back to this glorious story. This will sustain the United States. It will sustain Gaza. It will sustain the Ukraine. It will sustain even the Church of England. It will sustain the new Archbishop of Canterbury, whoever he or she will be. It will sustain your family and your friends. It will sustain our country. It will sustain our parliament. Trust this story, because this is our true life and transformation. And so as we gather here, we do not do these things in vain. We do not do these things just out of a form of religiosity. We don't just show up. We come here because we believe and trust this story. It will build our future. It will give us hope. It has formed our science. It has given us medicine. It's given us the belief, the fact that we are all equal in the sight of God. It is a wonderful, glorious story. So trust it. It's our wine. And it's our transformation. Amen.